Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Well, they just, the shooting that took place, I don't know if you guys heard about this, yesterday, and a Sikh temple in Wisconsin, there was a shooting that took place there, and it was a soldier. They actually just identified the person. It was actually Wade Michael Page, and it's just horrific. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear this, and then we'll be back in just one moment. We'll have to bring back a little technical difficulties there. We'll bring it up in just a moment. The shooting took place. Some people may not know. Everybody, I'm not like, hey, I know what a Sikh is when I actually, you know, hear it. So there's 730,000 Sikhs in America, about 730,000. There is an Asian religion. You know, it's more like you heard about gurus and things like that. That's where they come from.
Right.
And with that, this soldier. You know, the soldier appears. They don't know what his motivation is yet. I'm trying to make sure you get this thing up here so we can actually see this.
And, you know, people might recognize him because they wear a turban. That's one of the things that they believe, like 5K is one of the things they believe. They have their long hair and they wear it in a turban. They're supposed to comb it twice. They normally wear a bracelet. And I think they also even have a dagger or something like this, what it says here in the article here. But there's a lot of Americans like that here in the United States, and it's just a tragedy to see what occurred there in Wisconsin.
Well, you know, and just like we were talking about in the first hour, that, you know, Satan, second heaven, Ephesians 6:12, he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, principalities, and God holds that back from us.
Right.
He keeps that back from us, but if we rebel against him, he pulls his hand back, and when he pulls his hand back, all of a sudden, people who are controlled by the adversary become like puppets to do his will. And this is a tragic, tragic thing. They went to their temple and only to find out that this guy was dressed up like in fatigues or not, just military police type stuff with armor and all. So remember, let's listen up now and you can hear a first report.
A police SWAT team entered the building, and that may have been what we've been seeing. They were bringing out uninjured people. You heard the man there with the local affiliate talking about the fact that people have been hiding in bathrooms, in a kitchen, and that they have apparently been evacuated. That is also what the journal is reporting as well. They are reporting, in addition to that, that among those shot is the president of this temple. You heard Peter Ducey reporting earlier that the paper had also talked about the fact that the head priest, we don't know if that's the same individual, was holed up somewhere, locked somewhere with a cell phone, and calling out saying 20 to 30 people had been injured. We've had reports that children have been taken hostage or are among hostages there in the building's basement. People do begin to...
And of course, this is a fresh report that was coming out yesterday, and you can find out more on the VFN Torch, but they walked right in, the police did, and... the first officer got shot as he was trying to help out and to rescue a victim and help the victim out. And then the second officer came in and shot the suspect, and the suspect died on the scene at that one point. They didn't know it was multiple shooters or not. The women were hiding out in the kitchen. They walked in and began to shoot the people that were in their holy place, they call it. And it's just horrific, you know.
Yeah.
And the thing is that, you know, we've got to turn to God, America. We've got to turn to God. And just like, you know, John Paul Jackson is talking about, that it's just going to get worse.
Exactly.
It's going to get darker and it's going to get worse. And, you know, we can look at this horrific thing that's taking place and we got to think about, wait a minute, if God is in control, is he pulling his hand back and evil's just kind of coming in like a flood? Did he set Jehoiakim, you know, he set President Barack Obama in place to be able to fulfill what he wanted done to this nation, to be able to humble this nation. And it's not going to stop then until we fall on our knees and repent before God and go back and revisit. It's what the church has turned into. You have to understand, you know, what's taking place at the time that Jehoiakim or Josiah was king before he started reading the word. I mean, there were people, very religious people. They all called themselves, you know, people of God, and they had priests, and they had all this kind of stuff. And you can go through the motions. You can really look very religious. You can look like God's people, but while the meat's in your teeth, you know, God's anger can burn against you.
It's a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, so the Bible speaks about. You know, you can become so religious, and we've turned to a religious society, which means it's man's attempts to have God. But God's not there. God's not even present. I'm constantly reminded of the scripture of Isaiah. Says they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And America's been giving lip service to God, you know, the religious church in America.
Right. And it's a journey. I mean, my personal journey, you know, to hear God, because you're not wanting to you don't want to believe that. You don't want to believe that all these labors, all this energy, all this time, all this music, all this money, $1.3 million per baptized believer, you know, all this money is for, and it's like,
all right,
it's in vain.
It's for not.
You just don't want it. You don't want to believe that the $750 bouquet in front of the room would have been better off to be, you know, for the widow's rent.
Exactly. You know?
Somehow we want to say that even though America's a slither of the population of the world, that somehow God sees the world based on how America sees things.
Mm-hmm.
Versus America originally saw things the way God saw things. And this is horrific. This is exactly what we've been saying in the Elijah storm. That's why we can report on it, you know, and there's so many things that have happened. At some point, we just got to say, you know, repent.
Right.
You know, that, you know, we can theorize about it. We can talk about it. We can light candles. We can take wreaths, which we should. We should pray for these families who have lost their loved ones, which is tragic, just totally tragic. And these peaceful people, you know, obviously very peaceful people, because I believe that the Sikhs are all about that, you know, meditation and all that kind of thing. And obviously they probably, you know, had all these wrong mindsets. This guy did. We don't know.
Right.
He's dead now. They're not going to be able to find out. But they are searching this place and everything, and they found out who he was. But there's a whole bunch of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a whole bunch of Bubbas out there.
Yeah,
there's a whole bunch of people that if you keep pushing them and pushing them and pushing them, you know, and what we as the church, you know, we have to repent as leaders. There's one particular minister, I can't tell you his name right now, but you can find out through Wall Builders, Alan Barton, the American Heritage series, you got to get this.
Mm-hmm.
But this one minister, he said over and over again, if America falls, it's the pastor's fault. Charles Finney said that if America's in sin, you know, it's the shepherd's fault. It's the leader of God's people's fault, is what he's really saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if marriage goes wrong, it's the leader of God's people's fault.
Mm-hmm.
If God's name comes down off of things, it's the leader of God's people's fault.
Yeah.
You know, it's all the leaders of God's people. I mean, and so it means that we have to start leading differently. Mm. Insanity is to continue doing what you're doing and expecting different results, you know, and, you know, if money's your stronghold, you know, that's what you need to put in your pit. You know, go out and just begin to burn it, you know,
give it
to the poor, you know, send it to these poor families in Wisconsin who just lost loved ones because we as the church did not repent, you know, begin to give to the poor, you know, rich young ruler, give everything you got away so you can follow God if money is your God. And so, we're like 3 weeks away. 3 weeks away, I believe, from the Republican National Convention. They're preparing for unrest. We don't call riots anymore. We call them flash mobs, you know. And the man or woman's business who's getting robbed, or the Walmart's getting robbed, they call it robbery, intimidation. And it's fixing to get major unrest is about to hit the streets of America. And it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop. You know, until we decide that we're going to follow God, we're not going to change it. We've changed. Listen, we got the church talking about, you know, a same-sex marriage, but we got to back up a little bit. Look at the condition of the marriage of two opposite sexes that are married.
Yeah, right.
You know, where both battling for who's gonna lead that thing called family. And
when
the
Bible clearly speaks of
the kids can testify how repulsive that is. You know, they just want their parents to get along, but you're never going to get along unless you determine to follow God.
Mm-hmm.
And how can two people who are living in that kind of turmoil and frustration think that they're going to birth a generation that's going to worship God? Because that's what sin sends you to hell.
That's right.
You know, that's the whole thing. What sin sends you to hell? A very religious people's picked a few. But God says all sin sends you to hell outside of repentance and dealing with it at the cross. And then repentance, and you know, we've all sinned and fallen short, but if you don't know that, you know, you're not only going to fall short, but you're going to fall into the pits of hell. You know, that's where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to get our own house in order before we start telling the world who they can marry, who they can't marry.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? We have to quit. We have to, you know, and marriage is like oatmeal, by the way. You know, you can have oatmeal or not have oatmeal.
That's right.
I mean, if you do marry, it's not sin. And if you don't marry, it's not sin.
That's right.
And Paul said it's better not to be because the days are short. And if you are married, live like you're not married because the days are short. So it's not about worshiping the institution of marriage. It's not about worshiping either one of the spouses in the marriage. It's about worshiping God and repenting. It's going to have to start in the homes. It's going to have to start. Right. And there's more that is just, it's amazing. And it's like, we're not going to win that battle about marriage in the world if we already lost it in our homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And 50% of the marriages in the church, and it would be more now, but most people who call this, many people now who call themselves believers are not even getting married.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize if you die in that sexual sin, unrepentant, you're not going to go to heaven.
That's right.
And that's not God's will for you. God wants you to live and not die. He wants to forgive you, but that's a choice that you're making.
Right.
And you don't want to die in adultery. Yeah. You don't want to die in the sin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was having this conversation last night, and the choice, the chance that you have is right now.
Yeah.
You know, there's a gross misconception that people think that maybe once they get into heaven, that they'll be able to negotiate with God or cry out for mercy at that moment or plead with him. And it's like, you know, the chance to make that decision to be right with God is right now while you have the chance.
Right.
And we don't need to go to another funeral where people are saying, you know, they're in a better place when there was no indication that this person was serving God whatsoever. We're lying to ourselves. We just got to get right, like you're saying. We got to search our hearts and say, you know what? Judgment starts in the house of God first. And before I can begin to start, you know, policing the world or, you know, having statements and judgment. Hello, we need to start in our own lives, in our own home, and get things in order. Because what's going to come across on the face of the earth, I mean, judgment is God's mercy. The wrath is what we, you know, I'm saying, is judgment is for us to turn to God and say, oh, my goodness, God, I've sinned. I've got to be in right relationship with you.
Which is the good news. The good mm-hmm. news is we can ask him to forgive us, and he forgives us. We're proof positive. You
Hello.
Know, we've sinned. Well, we haven't done as much as Pat, but we've sinned.
This is true.
You know, we're just joking. Seriously. But we've all sinned. We haven't smoked our Bible. We'll talk more about that
right.
later. But, you know, understanding that God forgives you. The good news is not – and judgment begins in the house of God. Because the enemy has changed what the house of God is, people start saying, that's right, that building needs to straighten up. You know, and that board of directors – it's all those board of directors and that Sunday school department. And it's like, no, we are the house of God.
That's right.
When he says judgment begins at the house of God, he's talking about us personally, that we need to lay our lives down for the Lord and begin to be discipled
mm-hmm.
and be transformed and be renewed by the washing of the word of God over our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
mm-hmm.
called transformation. You know, be not conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your soul, your mind, what you think, what you want, and what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like whatever is happening right now to the minds of those who call themselves the Lord. But listen, the Lord says very specifically, he says, when I send a plague amongst my people, when I send locusts to devour the crops of my people, when I send, you know, a plague is like a disease and, you know, the terrible things happening. Or when I'm fastening a storm against my people, bringing a sword against my people.
Mm-hmm.
If my people, who are called by my name,
that's right,
will humble ourselves. And humility is an interesting thing. It's something that we constantly need to pursue because the opposite of it is pride, and God resists mm-hmm. the proud. We have to find that place. And it's a constant place because in our human nature, we tend to have self-reliancy instead of just trusting God. But if we humble ourselves and repent and turn from our own personal wicked ways, which is immoral ways, then God will hear from heaven and he'll heal our land. And so this is all about God will forgive. But we have to be involved in the process of seeking God's forgiveness. Right. We've got to have that. He doesn't forgive us because he has a desire to forgive us. He has a desire to forgive us, but we have to actually want him and believe that he can and to seek
That's
him.
Right.
And he forgives us. And so I know we're talking a lot about this morning, but we're so close to so many things beginning to happen and break loose in the street. I mean, go, if you have not looked at the VFN torch for Guy Fawkes, the Guy Fawkes mask, you got to listen to that dream. I mean, God will not let this go. I mean, it's just constantly there. But, you know, God speaks in dreams and visions, and he speaks in prophetic words. And like I said, you can find out about, you know, about Josiah and VFN TV, but you also go to VFN Torch right now and look for the, just up in the right-hand corner, you just type in any keyword that you want, and the keyword would be, you know, Guy Fawkes, and it's about a prophetic dream about what's about to take place. And at some point in time, unless we repent, understand, any moment, it's like playing, you know, you and your older brother or your younger brother, depending who we're talking to, we're playing a game, and then the other one had to say mercy. And if they said mercy, then the other person would quit. For example, say they're like doing some sort of pressure point on your little brother. say uncle, say mercy. And no, I'm not going to say it. And then finally he would say, you know, how you did with your siblings. and then once they say mercy or uncle, whatever it was, mercy, then they would let go.
Right.
That's how God should say, cry for my mercy, cry for justice.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I want my sin. It's not going to be good. It's going to get worse.
Right.
God will use minimum force necessary to get us to comply and have a desire to comply. I mean, he's not going to force us to comply, but he'll increase and escalate the pain and the hardship until we think more and more about it. You know, I was just thinking about when I picked my leg off the floor. I was just thinking that, you know, possibly the direction that I'm headed right now, that I couldn't afford a map now to be able to know which direction to go in.
Right.
That maybe this is not right.
Right.
You know, and then when we do that, then that God's cool with that. You know, most men wouldn't be cool with that. Most men would say, you know, you turned your back on me and you didn't do this and you didn't do that and blah, 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 and they just can't leave you, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then, but God says, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with if it took all that for you to turn to me fully, wholeheartedly, that he's cool with that.
Right.
And which is pretty cool, you know.
Yeah.
And so understanding that, then we can stop this escalation of things taking place. We really believe that the next wave of what's going to happen, it's going to be all over the world and all over America, different things happening, but the escalation is going to be just like bam, 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 bam. And when those dominoes, and this is like, it could happen, I mean, if God wanted to destroy us, of course he could just go whack. That's not what he wants. It's discipline. It's hardship. Consider hardship as discipline. I'm treating you as a son.
Yeah.
And that he's working holiness in our lives, which separates us from that which separates us from God. That's what holiness is. And
we have to recognize when it happens. I mean, a lot of times things are happening in people's life, and it's like, this fell apart, that fell apart. It's like, do you think there's a message in all of this? You know what I'm saying? Do you think that God is... And God's lovingly trying to get a hold of people because he loves you. He loves mankind. He doesn't want that anyone would perish. But when these things come on the face of the earth, when these things come and happen in your own life, we have to recognize that God is speaking.
Right, right. Yeah, and then, you know, what's going to happen, you know, we're talking about, as we talked about in the first hour with Jehoiakim, and you catch that in the first hour, you know, when God puts a set man in place to discipline his people, you're going to see oppression begin. And oppression will happen where, you know, all your stuff and things will be taxed. You're about to be, we're about to be, unless we repent, we're about to see humongous, you know, people say, oh, it could never, not that high as like, we're about to see humongous taxes. And it's not about what we get with the money, it's the fact that our money's being taken from us, which makes us oppressed. It makes us, you know, and we're getting paid like 360% more than 28% of the world's poor.
Right.
You know, we're the richest nation according to 52% of the world's poor. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're blessed nation. And so it's just time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know we're talking some pretty serious stuff today, but wouldn't you want to know? You don't want this in a history lesson. You want to know, you know, what to do. And the thing is that you know, if you're where you are, if you're not talking about this, begin to talk to them about this. Begin to, you know, go to the VFN Torch and look where to start for transformation, where to start mm-hmm. your own personal journey of transformation. You can personally begin to make that transformation yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
And you can just type in the word transformation, or the whole segment from VFN Radio is called Where to Start for Transformation on the VFN Torch. And it just starts with you and works its way out. But I personally say, you know, run to truth. Mm-hmm. Run to truth. Don't pass go. You know, forget about your $200. And time is so limited now.
That's right.
Time is so limited. And it looks like America's just being turned over quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker to these things. And if that dream comes to pass, if that prophecy comes to pass that God shared with John, that God shared with John Paul Jackson, that it was spoken of by Louis Farrakhan, that and also confirmed in several other ways, that means we should my God would reveal that so we can pray that wouldn't happen.
That's right.
He tells us things, not say, hey, I knew something, I knew that was going to happen. No, we say, no, we pray against that.
That's
but
right.
Praying against it means repenting.
Mm-hmm.
We have to repent and say, you know what, Lord, we've sinned. Don't bring this against us. And the next step after Jehoiakim is Babylon. Listen, it can be way worse. We'll be right back in just a moment. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.